Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Morning, Haley.
Good morning, Dr. Looper. How are you?
Tip top.
Good. Well, our last episode, we talked about exercise.
Happiness and joy abounding.
Yeah. Change of season. Happiness. This was a hard winter. This was a really hard season. And for a lot of people I know, myself included, we went through some level of crisis. I think it would be, you know, a good topic to share about how to navigate crisis.
You know, crisis happens. It's like the weather. Stuff piles up. Part of life. Things break down. Things fall apart. Relationships end. Jobs end. Health problems show up. You know, being in the business here, we see crisis one after another after another after another. It's a thing that is hard. And yet, the most juicy parts of our lives is where the crisis is. When people look back on crisis, they think that was such an important thing. That was one of those pivotal points in my life that gave my life meaning and purpose, right?
Right.
And they don't doubt about it. There's right. opportunity abounding in crisis. Opportunity to make changes that make your life better. And let's just get right down to it. Everybody doesn't survive crisis. Sometimes people die. But even then, it is rich with meaning and purpose. I did a show some years ago about hospice, and I brought all the hospice guys in to the studio. We did it over at the radio station, and we had four or five people, I can't remember, talking about the hospice system here in Fairbanks. And it was one of the most meaningful, glowy shows I ever did, because these are people who volunteered their time to go help people die. You thought, what a glum show that would be. It was the exact opposite. And these people were lit by doing this. It was super, super meaningful to both the people who were doing the dying and the people who were doing the living. The people who were there doing the assistance just got a huge amount of help. Transition turns out to be a real rich, meaningful time where people often don't do the fake.
Yeah.
They go real.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
There's no hiding.
Yeah, we saw that with our cancer patient recently. I mean, yeah. She went right to real. She was just level-headed. I'm at the end of my life. I'm going to make some changes. And she came in, thank you, Dr. Looper, for all your good help. And I was like, what? No, we ain't doing that. That's not while I'm here. Mm-hmm. Let's fix it.
Yeah.
And by golly, we are.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the trippy thing is with some common sense effort, some focus, and bringing the team in, we're turning her life around. Now, we don't know where all this is going to go in the end, but in the meantime, she's better.
Right.
She's.
It's not.
She continues to breathe air.
Yeah.
With joy.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So this crisis thing is something that's super important because a lot of times what happens with crisis is people get overwhelmed. That is a common experience of crisis. You get overwhelmed and you just think, I can't do it. It's too much. I can't do it. And you cry. You grieve the loss of the life that you used to have. That's usually what happens with a crisis. Whatever you had, you just lost. Maybe not in totality, but significantly. It breaks down, you can't do it anymore, right? Whatever it is you're doing. And so now you're gonna need to make changes. Let's talk about, I don't wanna get to specific examples because a bunch of them are coming to mind, by the way.
Yeah,
and I wanna get people's personal stuff. Let's talk about general principles, but if a little detail or two comes up, we can bring it up here later in the show. But here's the thing about crisis that I notice is that the overwhelm, that's a key thing. And somehow you got to figure out a way to start because it's too much. I mean, that's the nature crisis. It's like, literally, it's overwhelming.
Yeah, how do you eat an elephant?
Yeah, so
one bite at a time.
Okay, let me just use a little bit of an example here. There's the situation I'm recently become aware of is the ending of a relationship. And one of the folks, without giving too much details here, basically just say the relationship's come to an end. And so there's lots of crying, lots of disappointment. I'm so old to start over. Yeah, That.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, and so it's really overwhelming. A lot of crying going on. So one of the things that I do in that situation, patients show up with this kind of thing, well, I start talking basics because there is no immediate solution. Mm. What people often do is they feel so bad that they start casting about. They start thinking, you know, what could I do? Maybe if I moved to Fiji and started over again. Well, you know, which is a valid thing to do. I mean, you could actually move to Fiji. But it's usually whatever you decide on in the middle of feeling the intense emotion is a bad idea. Now, admittedly, it's possible that it could be a good idea, but the possibility, the chances are probably less than 5%. You have a 95% chance of making a bad decision if in the throe of the crisis, you start deciding things.
True.
Okay, I'm just letting you know.
Yeah.
It's, chances are really, really bad that this is going to be a bad decision. So the better thing to start with is the basics and to start working on, you know, the basic things that you need to get through your day. And I'm talking actual basics, things like food and water and sleep, right? Things
yeah.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to start thinking, where can I sleep?
Well, honestly, something that like my dad raised me with when I was an adolescent going through all the angsty teenage crises, he'd ask me, are you hungry? Are you tired? Are you lonely?
Yeah.
And those were the three markers. And if I could answer yes to any one of those, then I knew exactly where the source of my problem was.
Yeah. You know, you're right. Because if you are tired, hungry, or lonely, you're miserable.
Yeah.
And whatever you're feeling is amplified.
100%, yes.
Yeah. So my experience of crisis is it comes in waves that it piles up in the realization that your life is over and it's never going to be the same. He's never coming back, right?
Right.
Or now I have cancer.
Right.
Right. I could die of this. This is probably going to kill me.
Yeah.
This thing, I probably, it's the end of my life.
Yeah.
It's been a good run.
Yeah.
But now I've got to the end. This is what it looks like, right? So this is just crash of a wave that goes over you and you drowned
mm-hmm.
in the overwhelming reality of whatever the change is,
mm-hmm.
right? And so my experience of this is if you just keep breathing and wait about a minute, maybe a minute and a half, it lightens up a little bit. It doesn't go away. There's no solution.
No.
Don't think there's a solution because there isn't. Because there is, this is an experience.
The thing that happens that is so life-altering, that is real. That is like your body's response, your psyche's response to an absolute 180 from the direction you were going before. But you're right. If you just wait a few minutes, and in those minutes, you can do things like tapping or breathing.
Yeah, I was gonna say breathing's the thing.
Breathing is the easiest, most accessible thing. And when you're in the moment of crisis, you don't like really think about it. But if you have some tools and some, you know, ability to just breathe, there are different breath techniques that you can take that take your nervous system out of that fight or flight back into that
yep.
calm state.
Yeah, because when you have crisis like this, there's a threat going on. Realistically,
yeah.
there's a threat. And so your body gears up for the threat. It assumes you're going to solve your problem by going finding a stick that's stout
mm-hmm.
and picking it up and then whacking the problem severely. And then in the old days, that's kind of how we solve problems. We picked up sticks and we whacked it.
But we can't really go around
no.
hitting people with sticks. We can't hit ourselves, you know.
Nope. The stick solution is not a very good solution in modern life. And yet we still are geared towards that physiologically.
Yeah.
And so our body releases blood sugars into our bloodstream. It releases
cortisol.
The changed blood flow and how our body, we've talked about that as well. And so all those things tend to accentuate the sense of overwhelm and panic because if they're designed to have you take action and when you think there is no action. Now, people do crazy stuff. They go get guns and shoot each other and stuff like that. Heaven forbid. But that's one of the things that happens. So here's, I want to stress this. when you're in the midst of this intense overwhelm, the intensity of, you know, the crisis, don't make any decisions. Don't. Just literally don't decide. There's no decision except for to keep breathing and give it a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Let it clear a little bit. It won't clear completely, but it'll clear a little bit. And then you'll notice that between the intense waves, there's lower parts. If you need to make any decision, usually the basic decisions like, I should go get something to eat, by the way. Stuff like that.
I should take a cold shower. I should go for a walk.
That's a big one. That's a huge one. Just you went to your basics. That's where the point we're making.
Uh-huh.
What are the basics? Are you fed? Right? Are you thirsty? Right? Do you need a nap? I don't know what. I mean, typically naps, you're not going to, in the throes of these things, you're all whacked out.
Yeah,
there's no napping
going
on. But do you think about, do I have a place to sleep?
Yeah.
And that's probably a better question. Do I have a place to sleep? Because at some point I'm going to get tired. Things like that. And you start working on your immediate environment and your immediate needs. And that's fine. You can do that. You can make decisions based on whether I'm going to, you know, sweep the floor, mop the floor. Those are fine decisions to make because you're cleaning up your environment around you. And you're making your world a teeny bit more organized so that you can inhabit it and waiting for that moment when your head clears a little bit so you can actually start thinking about the real problem and getting down to it, which is, okay, given the situation, which is not what I wanted, this is absolutely a crisis, whatever it is, health crisis, relationship crisis, job crisis, whatever crisis. I don't want to live here. This is not what I choose. It's come to me like bad weather. It's a storm. So now I have to figure out, How do I maneuver to get the best outcome I possibly can? And here's the thing, remember, is that in reality, the situation is the same as it always has been, which is given who we are, given what our resources are, given what our interests are, given what our abilities, our aptitudes. The question is, how do we make our best life? Right? Are we going to pick up and start practicing for ultimate frisbee? Or are we going to play the piano? Because those are two different things. I mean, they're all good.
Yeah.
You just got to make a choice.
So, based off what you know.
Yeah. What your resources are, what your interests are, what your aptitudes are, what you see is like a direction forward. It's always the same. Whether you're in crisis or not in crisis, you're always having to kind of have a direction to your life. So with crisis, your life has been upended.
Yes.
But it creates opportunities. Realistically, it creates opportunities to do things differently. In fact, it demands that you do things differently because it's a crisis. You're going to have to do things differently. You can't do the same thing you were doing before.
The past is
gone now.
Did not work.
Yeah. So it's not like, here's the thing.
It's time to rebuild.
I'm not trying to take anything away from your grief.
True.
Because you're going to feel grief. There's going to be this sense of loss.
Yeah.
And typically tears that go along with that. And then I'm not trying to come up with an immediate solution because it shouldn't be. One of the things that you got to do is you got to keep the basics going so you can keep alive. So there's hope in the end. At some point, you're going to come out and get a better life out of this thing. But in the meantime, you're going to have to grieve that old life that you can't live anymore because that is dead and gone. And so you don't want to take that away. I know it's unpleasant as it is, as miserable as it is, how we want to do anything possible not to experience that. It turns out that is deep. The meaning in those moments is as deep as it gets. We talked about the hospice people. I mean, they have this keen appreciation for those deep moments. And they get to experience them with folks as they're holding their hand or they're getting water for them or they're fluffing their pillow, right? Whatever. And it is absolutely it's like a pinnacle experience in life to do those kinds of things. It is worth it. The bottom line, it's worth it. It's painful, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's the stuff that you will remember the most. The things that stick in your mind the most is the most important moments of your life, typically are crisis moments.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
I've had that experience.
And you know, and especially if you can go through crisis and then you come out the other side and you really do improve your life, that things actually are for the better, that even though it was so hard to go through it, you learned so many valuable lessons that you learned how to survive, you learned how to adapt, you learned how to carry on and keep the vision of making the best life you can, and then it actually comes. Now, here's the thing. Let's not get too high on this thing. Trust me. Whatever you create will eventually be destroyed again.
Everything must come to an end.
You know, it doesn't last.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't. Mm-hmm. And so we all do the best we can to make as much happiness as we can, as much meaning as we can, knowing full well that at some point it's going to end up in some sort of crisis. It just does. That's the nature of how things go. You ever get a dog? You love your dog. Your dog loves you. You have this fabulous relationship with your dog. Guess what? At some point, your dog's going to die.
Yeah.
It just happens. And so you're going to go through this crisis.
You're going to raise a kid. You're going to love them. You're going to have so much fun with them.
Yeah, and then
one day they're going to
The biggest crisis of my life is when my kids moved out. You wouldn't think of what you'd think. Well, the alternative would have been the biggest crisis of my life. When are they going to move out?
Why didn't they move out? No,
one way or the other, it's all bad.
Kind of going through this period of change with my daughter. She's 8. She's starting to get a little ennui. She's starting to get a little bit teenager-y. Not teenager-y, but just like angsty.
Yeah, those things happen, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yep.
There it is.
And there's grief in mourning.
All along.
All of it. You know, even though I was there for sure. I was there as a single parent. But the squirrel cage in my mind keeps telling me, like, oh, you missed it.
It's helpful to have people around to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And to... Not so much offer advice, more just say, oh, yeah, I know how that is, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes maybe advice, but usually advice is overrated in those situations. When people come to us in crisis, I mean, I'm all about solutions.
Yeah.
But there's a timing to solutions. If somebody comes in and throws at things, you don't necessarily want to start immediately into solution land because you just need to reflect for a moment about what's going on. Like the cancer patients, a lot of times they'll say, well, tell me the story. What happened? I need to hear the story. And the story is, well, I found this lump, and then it got bigger, and then it started pressing on things, and then my arm is numb, right? Things like that. You get the story. The story comes out. And people need to tell their story. You need to listen to the story. Okay, then what happened? Right? And then at a certain point, you'd say, okay, there's the story. Okay, I see that. All right, now let's talk about what's going to happen next. It's not time to make any decisions, but it's time to consider what some of the possibilities in front here. Are we going to do chemo? Are we going to do nothing? Are we going to go to the beach and lay on a blanket? What's going to be the thing we do here? How do we make the best outcome we possibly can out of this? Let's look at the facts. Let's look at what the situation is. Look at what your resources are. Let's look at what your interests are. You know, one of the basic questions that I asked all my patients who are in crisis, in, you know, like real, like life-threatening crisis, I asked them in this basic question, and it's super important, do you want to live? And I listen to the answer. I don't assume it. Sometimes the answer is no. And
yeah.
It's important for me to recognize when those situations come up, it changes the situation. Then we got to figure out how to maneuver that, right?
Yeah.
And to the best effect. Because if you start fighting against that, you're fighting against the reality of their life, right? Some people do get to the end. Now, that's rare. Hardly ever happens. Most everybody always chooses life. I mean, it's all life,
yeah,
life
and if
all
they're
the time.
In a doctor's office, they're kind of looking for, you know, a cure or, you know, to get better.
Yeah, mostly.
Mostly.
Yeah, really, mostly. And if I've had that happen once where somebody said, no, I'm done. And I said, no, we need to fight. And it turns out at that point, I lost connection with the patient because we had different objectives here, and there was a waste of time.
They wanted to do
something else. Yeah, my job is not trying to talk people into stuff. My job is to try to bring out the reality of the situation. What she really needed to do, that patient, she needed to go back home, back east, spend time with her sister, and just kind of wind down. That's what she needed to do. That's what she ended up doing. It was the best thing for her. She died in 2 months. And that was really the better thing for me to do would have been to confirm that for her and say, let's talk about your plan. Here's how it's going to go. You need somebody to take care of you while you're going through this process, you know, to make it comfortable and like that. That's a rare conversation, but it does happen. Most of the time, the conversation is like, okay, yeah, you want to live. Good. Let's talk about how to do that. Okay, number one, you're going to have to keep breathing air. Number two, you're going to have to keep sleeping. You're going to have to keep eating food. And we got to make sure whatever the pain that's involved in this thing gets shut down. Or addressed in some way so it doesn't hurt so much. You know, with our one patient that's coming to mind right now is it's this big old tumor that you have. We're going to shrink that tumor down. Here's how we're going to start. We're going to start starving it. I'm going to change your diet. We're going to slow down this thing. I'm going to have you take a bunch of herbs, and it's going to slow it down as well. Then we're going to sign you up for chemo. We need to go consult with the oncologist and then talk about what's going to be the best chemo for you, because chemo is going to be super important. Well, I don't want to do chemo, Dr. Luber, because I don't want to get sick. Yeah, we're going to make sure you don't get sick, or at least your sickness is going to be mild. It's not going to just be hellish misery, because if it is, we're not going to do it. We're going to make sure we're going to do it in such a way that's effective and tolerable. Okay, that's going to be the goal here. We can do that. Sound good? Yeah, that's exactly how it went. Over and over and over again. I talk people into doing chemo, I mean, every week, right?
Right.
Because nobody wants to do chemo because they've seen it before, how the misery goes on. But if you take stuff and
keep your body healthy.
You can engage your body and get your body to actually to get the chemo to work better, and you get fewer side effects from it. It's a thing. And you put your mind to it, you can actually do it. So I don't want to get too much into the cancer thing, because most of the time people, the crisis that they have isn't a cancer crisis. It isn't a health crisis. It's mostly relationship. You think about your own life. How many times you get cancer? Zero. How many times you get in relationship problems? More than you can count.
Oh, God.
Right?
Yeah. Over and over. All of the crises in my life has been over a relationship.
Yeah. Those are the
big ones. But I think that is just such an important piece of our existence is our connections.
Yep.
And when they fail, we take it on ourselves. We think that we're bad. We think we just take on that shame.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, in my experience, it's been important for me to learn and understand that I don't operate the same way as everybody else operates. And I can't take the blame all on myself. That's my biggest problem, is I want to take responsibility for everything. But in reality, it's a dance, and you're doing it with everybody else involved.
You're bringing up a very important point, and I'm going to change the words a little bit, but we're saying the same thing. It's the embarrassment of crisis.
Yeah.
People in crisis, they don't want to be in crisis. They don't like the look of being in crisis, because I used to be this person that had everything together, and it was all going smooth, and now I'm in crisis, and I just don't want people to know. We have a friend whose husband died recently, and she didn't want to tell anybody. She told us straight up, don't tell anybody, because I don't want to ruin people's holiday. And I thought, well, you know, this is, first of all, I did what she said nothing. And I also thought, wow, I didn't realize how deep this embarrassment thing goes. I mean, she had every right to grieve and share it with everybody and not protect us from the fact her husband died. She had every right to do that. And yet when came down to it, she didn't want to. She wanted to take care of all of us more than she wanted to take care of herself and her own situation. So it is a thing, this embarrassment. And it is something that can slow the process of healing down, because now no one knows, it's just you alone. Mm-hmm. You feel isolated, you have to on your own resources to fix everything. And honestly, human beings don't really do their best work
alone. No.
Especially when it comes to relationship, they do a lot. They get a lot better results if they are able to tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing I want to emphasize is, when you are in crisis, notice when the story I gave you earlier, which is somebody comes in with cancer, first question I say is, tell me what happened. And I listen to the story. We need to get that out. I'm going to skip the story. Now, as a doctor, I need to know some facts about it. It's more important what kind of cancer it is, what the stage is, da, 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 da. There's some details I'm trying to get out, but I'm not necessarily trying to get those details. This is a human being going through an actual crisis. This is life.
Yeah.
So the story needs to come out. So sometimes people are just good storytellers, and they just tell the story, and that worked fine, and there it is, the story's out. Other times, it's hard to say. It's hard to say what it is. You don't want to tell the story. I don't want to tell anybody about this thing. But it's still important to tell the story. So there is an alternative. What you can do is you can write it. You can tell the story to yourself. I do it all the time. Because the thing is, I don't necessarily want everybody to know all my business. I'm trying to lose weight. It's hard. And so I have a journal, and I write my trials and tribulations of weight loss. I mean, I'm not particularly overweight, but I'm a little thicker than I want to be. What a stupid thing for me to talk to people about.
Yeah.
Though I'm doing it now on the radio.
There's worse. You know, like I, as a woman, have listened to all of my girlfriends spiral about the same situation with men. Maybe not the same men. Sometimes it's the same men. But it's, you know, a repetitive pattern. Uh-huh. And all of it, you know, you just listen.
Listen.
You just listen. You listen.
That's the thing.
And
this is,
I've done it myself, too. I've done it, too. I have sat there and ruminated about the same situation endlessly. But that's a big part of the grieving process,
yeah,
is being able to share that story. And yeah, it's important to find people who you can do that with, that you aren't embarrassed.
So that, now we're down to counselors.
Yeah.
So counselors have
a place
in this.
So therapy is great.
It is. It's super helpful. You got somebody whose job it is. You're paying the money to sit and listen. And not unless they come up with solutions, but maybe. And what they do, what the counselors do, the counseling rule is you don't start with solutions. You start by listening. And you really want to get a sense of what the actual problem is, what the situation is. And also what's therapeutic, just telling the story. And so you listen. And then at some point, you listen for that thing. So if people are listeners, I want to tell you when it is you can give a solution. Because especially for the men, we're bad at this. We listen. We just want to get to the solution.
Yeah.
You need to tell me the story. I heard this before. No, here's what we're going to do. Stop. Don't do that. What you do is you listen to the feeling of the story that they say. And it gets more intense. As they tell the story, there's a tension that builds up. You can feel it. We're human beings. We're wired to be able to pick this up.
Yeah.
It's super important for our species to be able to connect like this. And there's this up ramp where the story has more energy, more energy, more energy. And then you hit the top and you start rolling down the other side. And there's this change in feeling.
And there's usually some body cues along,
yes,
with it. There's a sigh. There's a relax in the
there's
shoulders.
There's the tone of voice changes. Facial features change.
Their
there's a change.
Eye contact comes back.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a thing. You can tell. We've hit the peak and we're coming down the other side.
Yeah.
That's when you can say something like, let's talk about what to do. Before that, you have to be patient and listen. Okay? It's a thing. Really. Because we're trying to make the best of the situation. Crisis is an opportunity to make improvements. Because in order to make changes, you got to be motivated. Oh, boy, as the motivation just went way up. The motivation is as high as it's ever going to be during a crisis. Because the pain is so bad, you're highly motivated to fix it. We're getting to the end of the show. Let me finish on a high note here. Crisis is great. Crisis is full of meaning, and it's where the stories come from. It's where that sense of accomplishment comes from. It's really what makes our lives full of meaning and purpose. And it's fabulous to overcome. It's fabulous to survive. It's fabulous to have a relationship break up and then figure out how to do it better. I mean, it's got that potential.
Mm-hmm.
To really get it better than you ever did before, you know. And so I'm speaking to that potential. Instead of giving up and quitting, what I suggest you do is pick yourself up, dust yourself off, get a snack, and then go back at it.
They say that rock bottom is a great foundation to rebuild from.
Yeah.
So you're not at rock bottom. You're just at ground zero of a new beginning. Write out those, you know, lists of what you want and how you're going to do it better, and just take the next right step and breathe through,
yeah,
those super painful initial moments. Thank you so much, Dr. Looper. I think this will really help some people out there going through their own crisis.
Good, 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 good. All good, clean, fun. All right. Thanks, Haley.
Next time.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy. This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.